Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by Pyromedia Network. Pyromedia Network is a progressive moving platform to give a voice to those who feel don't have one. Social injustice, equality concerns, and more are just a few reasons why PMN is needed. For more information about Pyromedia Network, please visit pyromedianetwork.com. Hi, you've reached Kwame.
And Christy.
And we're from I'd Rather Not Podcast. Leave a message.
Everybody, welcome to the show. The rules of engagement are really quite simple. So if you can pull yourself away from Grindr for 2 seconds, listen up.
Let's have a kiki.
I
want to
have a kiki.
Lock the doors.
Right. Let's have a kiki.
What's going on, guys? We're back with another episode of I'd Rather Not. I'm your host, Kwame, joined by the beautiful, the lovely and talented, the outstanding, the glitteracious, Miss Chrissy Champagne. What's up, girl?
Oh, snaps, not glitteracious.
Yeah, glitteracious.
Okay. Can we just rewrite Fergie's song? She's glitteracious. Oh, yeah.
Glitteracious.
Girl. Well, I mean, Lord knows at some point in my day, I will be covered in glitter, even if I do not get up and drag.
Glitter just be everywhere. Already, I feel like if you get up and drag, you're going to have glitter in your ass crack for like ever.
Half the time you're like, wait a minute, I didn't even put glitter in my makeup. How the fuck am I covered in glitter? How did this happen?
Can we talk about when I was one of your backup dancers in LaFoe and I was not even dressed in geesh and was not even in drag, and all of a sudden this glitter in my ass cracked when I took a shower when I got home. I just don't understand. Like,
you're like, where did this come from?
Like, don't understand it.
I think it happens when we come out of the closet. It's like a glitter magnet. It's just gonna
it's like an explosion of glitter and fairy dust.
Girl, for real, it's like one of those glitter bombs you can send in the mail, you know, where you send it to someone you don't like and they open it and it's fucking glitter everywhere. Yeah.
Can we have more of those? Like, I have a couple that I want to send to. Extra glitter.
Girl. Well, fuck glitter. I need them to send like sand bombs or something worse, girl. Like,
yes.
I know that sounds horrible.
But I feel
horrible.
Like if it's glitter, you can't get rid of that shit.
It's true. Well, I don't want people thinking we're promoting violence, but, you know, send a bitch a glitter mail if you don't like her. Let her know why,
exactly.
Why you need to be putting her in her place, or him, whoever.
It's anonymous.
Whoever you be sending it to. You know, sometimes haters need a little bit more, you know?
Right. Okay. And they need to be sparkling, because, you know, if they're that angry, why not?
Girl, you're like, girl, get some happiness in your life. Like,
you cannot
be happy when you're covered in glitter. It's just not a thing.
True life. Okay. True life.
Speaking of true life, I literally just saw something on my computer that made me so incredibly happy, and I hate to get off topic, but I saw something on one of the news stations here in Seattle was doing a live feed on their Facebook. I think it was King 5. They were talking about Kelly Clarkson when I clicked on the live feed to start watching the video I was waiting to record today. And the headline on the thing said, Adele is possibly rumored to be doing a residency in Las Vegas.
What?
For a possible year. And I'm like, ooh, girl, yes.
So when are we going?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I guess I'm going to be moving back to Vegas. Like,
I mean,
they already have a person in Vegas who impersonates Adele, so they don't really need me. But, bitch, I will be front row center, right up in front.
I mean, I'm just saying. Sounds like we need to take a trip. I can use a break.
Okay. Can we just go? We'll just buy tickets for every day for like a week and just go to the show every day. Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
We'll hotel hop.
Okay, or maybe I can be like, hey, girl, remember that one time you pulled me on stage? Maybe you could just send me some tickets. How about that?
I mean, that'll be nice.
Okay. Yeah, that would be nice.
Free advertisement.
But that made me so excited. I was like, oh, yes, Vegas, Adele, yes.
I'm down for that.
I would be down for that, too. Because here's the thing, those year residencies usually lead to, like, way more. Like a couple years. Like, they're never, like, when are they really just a year? It's like, usually it'll be like a year and then they're like, oh, this did so well. Let's stay for three more. Like, I could be right. down for that. I could be totally down
especially
for that.
Especially if they're successful. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't right. know how long Mariah Carey's been out.
Oh, goodness. I think, wow, I don't know if she's still there. I'm so, like, out of touch with my...
I think she is. I think she's still there. Vegas. And then Jennifer Lopez just had a run.
Oh, yeah. So
I know don't know if she's still doing
I
that.
I think, she's still going. I know somebody who just went to her show the other day.
Okay.
No. No. Anyways. Yeah. Not to, you know, ramble on about Adele for 5 minutes.
But why not?
But, hello? Okay.
So I wanted to talk about, we originally were going to talk about glitter mail.
Correct.
And read out glitter mail. Unfortunately, we're having some technical issues at Pyro Media, and so we can't get to our server. Okay. So, unfortunately, we were not able to do that. So we will do that at the next one.
Yes.
So I wanted to talk about something that I think that I've been seeing a lot. And that is people who have, like especially in the gay, the LGBTQ community. And I noticed this is something that I noticed with my homegirl, Hope Giselle, who is also on After the Blaze podcast. Yes. And is a huge trans activist. Mm-hmm. And is actually, I'm going to be seeing her next week, which I'm really excited because we haven't seen each other and we're like really good friends.
Oh my God. So, please tell me her and say hello.
I will. She will be coming to LA to stop by before she goes and does an event with the HRC. For those who don't know, that's a human rights campaign. And then she's off to Chicago to do another event because she's doing big things.
Okay. So, she's doing the damn but thing.
But she is a prime example of, and I pride myself on, because for those who don't know, I am the managing producer of Pyro Media, and the people who are on Pyro Media, at least for, I can only speak for the Pyro Media Produce podcast, like for instance, I'd Rather Not. We all are activists in our own way, shape, or form, and we all do things for our community. And so I'm really proud to be working alongside these amazing human beings and to include Christy. and to include Hope Giselle and 50 Shades of Gay and myself. And even Kiana Shaw, she does a lot for young black girls of color or young girls of color within the California area. And so I just want to talk about like just when I've been seeing a lot of things like, you know, people attacking Hope, you know, on social media, which is normal when you start coming up and you start glowing up or whatever. It's happened to me and Miss Bree on Blaze Entertainment. You know, we've gotten like Trump supporter letters and stuff like that. I'm sure, Chrissy, you've experienced that on Facebook as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to talk about those who have platforms and use them to... What do you do with them? You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen a lot of drag performers who have been on Drag Race and don't do anything, either don't do anything with their platform or they use their platform to talk shit about other queens or, and I know that that happens, you know, within the drag community of itself, that happens in the LGBTQ community, but I feel like it's a responsibility, especially when you get to a point where you're able to have a platform, whether that be a podcast, whether that be a TV show, whether that be, social media, whatever. I feel like it's important to make sure that you give back, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
And use, and or even if you don't give back, to utilize your platform, you know, in a positive manner to kind of help. Because right. there's so much pain in the world. There's so much issues going on with this fuck-ass country, you know, and I think it's important to, you know, utilize that. So I wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit and to see, you know, first of all, if you've experienced that, Christy, and or have you seen others who have misused their platform, and what do you think about that?
Oh, wow. Well, that's a lot. I definitely, for sure, you see that for sure. Like you said, on social media and not even just drag queens. I feel like you see on a regular basis, people who could be using their platform 10 times better than they actually really do. And when we say platform, it doesn't mean like just people who are in the media or people who are, you know, I think it's more of a general thing. I think, because we live in a world, like you said, where everything is so crazy right now, that the more people can reach out and help in their community or help in, you know, in any way possible. You know, I see these things on social media all the time because, you know, as podcasters, we spend a lot of time online researching things and looking for new topics and seeing what's going on in the world so we can try our best to use our platform to the best of its ability. And the other day I came across this video of, I don't know the people who do it, but so I wish I could reference it, but I see this person's videos all the time and they do these things where this particular video I saw, there was the video started with a shot of, I want to say a teenager. He probably was 14 or 15 on the streets, homeless, I believe in New York City, and was freezing. I mean, it was cold. You could see the people walking around him. You could see their breath. They're all bundled up. I mean, it was probably, you know, it was cold and all he had was a trash bag wrapped around him. And they just kept showing people walking by and walking by and nobody stopping and nobody stopping. He didn't have a sign or anything, but he was on a pretty busy street. Like, and all of a sudden the video changed and it was the shot of the same kid on the street, except another homeless man had come up to him to check on him and was talking to him. And you could hear the audio. Whoever was filming it was close by. You could hear the audio of the man asking the kid, you know, are you okay? What's going on? And, you know, all these things, just talking to him, like, you know, why are you homeless? Do you have family? Blah, blah, blah. And the kid said, no, I don't have any family. I was abandoned. And so the homeless guy gives this kid his jacket and is just talking to him. And then all of a sudden, these two people come up and stop the man from talking to this kid. And you find out that this was essentially staged. And I know that sounds a little horrible, but I think what the point of this video is to bring awareness to the fact that, you know, that's one problem we have in this country right now is homeless youth. And the person who was in charge of the video, who's been in these other videos, who'd done these videos before, you know, just thanks the homeless man, you know, says, you know, nobody stopped. People kept walking by and looking and nobody would stop and say anything, just to reach out a hand of human decency, you know, just to even say like, are you okay? Do you need anything? Like just to check and make sure this child who is shivering in a trash bag on the street corner is okay. And just thanked this man for his kindlessness. And I think we need that in this world. We need more of that, just reaching out to our fellow human beings and loving each other. And they ended up giving this man some money. And just the sure thankfulness and selfishness that this man showed this child, I think we need that more. So I like to see those kinds of things. And I feel like I see that all the time. You see a lot of those things, but you don't see it enough in this world. Like people using their platform, like this guy has this show and he has a following on social media and he uses it to bring awareness to things like homelessness and all of these things. And, you know, I think more people need to be doing those kinds of things and more people Agreed. Need to be loving each other and reaching out. And, you know, you see as a drag queen, you see a lot of times, you know, and unfortunately it's just a sad event, but a lot of times being a drag queen, there's so much drama and there can be so much, I don't want to use the word hate because I think that's a really strong word, but there's just drama is probably the best word I can use. There's just so much like people trying to tear each other down to make themselves feel better because you need to do that to, you know, expand your talent or something, but it shouldn't be about that. It shouldn't be about the pettiness and the fighting and the, you know, pointing fingers. It should be about supporting one another and, you know, letting each other just, you know, be what you are and supporting each other. So I definitely see that a lot. I see people mistreating their platforms and not using it for the right things a lot. Like,
right.
More than I care to admit.
Right. And I also feel like, you know, like there comes a time when, you know, you just have to grow up. You know what I mean? Like there is, like, I mean, I understand, like for instance, like, you know, like, I am totally, I know people who, like, you know, go and, like, people attack Trump all the time. People attack people who, you know, are doing the wrong thing all the time. And we, you know, we talk shit on social media. That happens. You know what I'm saying? But I also feel like there needs to come a time when you have to utilize, you have to think about what you put out on your social media, what you're trying to utilize as your brand, you know, and don't get me wrong. Like, you know, when I was younger, you know, I put whatever I wanted on, you know, my Facebook because I didn't have a lot of people on it, you know what I'm saying? But when you're getting close to, like, you know, the cap, you know, of your Facebook or your, you know, you have a following now, you have a platform. Like, I think, you know, personal stuff needs to stay out of it. And also I think that it's important to, like, you know, don't tear your brother and sister down in the community, you know? And, I say that because, like, you know, I've seen a lot of, I've been really, focused on trying to figure out ways to protect, and be a better advocate for, my trans brothers and sisters, because I feel like we have an obligation to first of all know what they're going through, because yes, we may not have, you know, as cisgendered gay men, we may not know exactly what they're going through in terms of their struggle on a daily basis, but we do know what it feels like to be oppressed, what it feels like to be discriminated against, what it feels like to be disrespected and to be looked at as a second class citizen, you know? And so for us to do that within our own community, I feel is wrong. And it's not just for trans, you know, women, and men. I see it specifically, with trans women more than I do with trans men. But I also see it, like, when gay men do it with each other, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh girl, your shoes, what is that? Or, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what that person is going through. And yes, you know, we kiki and we joke around, we talk shit or whatever, but for at some point in time, for you to publicly drag people, or for you to like, you know, for instance, in Hope's case, you know, for, she speaks a lot and uses her Facebook a lot and her YouTube a lot to speak on issues within the trans community, and also issues from her perspective as a Black trans woman. And so, you know, people, and we know who, me and her have talked about it, in, you know, offline, and we know who the culprits are, but the fact that we know that the culprits are from our own community pisses us off, you know what I'm saying? And it pisses me off because it's like, you know, what can I do to help her, to protect her more? And not just her, but, like, also, you know, looking at, like, you know, if what happens, you know, when another, because it's kind of like when we see what are we doing for our younger, you know, LGBTQ coming up, you know what I'm saying? And they look at us as representatives and as role models for how they're going to enter into the LGBTQ community, you know, especially young gay men, when they're constantly, you know, belittled in school, or they are, you know, treated horribly, or, you know, call fag all the time, and, you know, just being bullied, you know, what are you doing? What are we doing as an older generation to kind of lay down groundwork so that way they don't feel like, oh, I'm going from one, jumping out of the pot into the fire. You know what I mean? And it kind of reminds me of some of the stuff that we talked about before in one of our previous episodes. And for those who haven't listened to it, definitely check out our coming out episode. It's a great episode. Yeah. It's one of our most listened to episodes, but we talked about, like, how it is growing up and then having to go into this community and feeling like, oh, well, I just came in, you know, I just came from being bullied. I just came, you know, out from trying to go through this whole pressure of coming out and dealing with the ramifications and the consequences and or the congratulations of that, you know, that emotional roller coaster, only to go into a community that's body shaming, that's cliquish, that's, you know, bullying in and of itself. So
I think the thing is like you said, like, that, you know, these kids who are coming out of the closet now, things are so much things are different. Things are different than when we were coming out of the closet and when we were their age. Times are different. And I think that, you know, we have to adjust the way that we handle I'm trying to think how I want to say this. We have to adjust the way we deal with our youth who are coming out now, because, you know, necessarily not just telling them that, oh, things are going to get better or blah, blah, blah. Yes, support is key, but like what we needed when we came out of the closet is much different than what a child who's going through that same thing needs now. And so
exactly
as the older people, not that I hate to call myself old, but as the older people in the community now, we have to adjust how we handle those situations, and we have to handle them differently than necessarily the way we were handled, because people are going to fight what they don't know. And right. when it comes to those things, you know, we have to handle it differently. Times have changed. And it's, you know, it's not the same when it comes to like supporting the trans members of our community. I think the key for me, and when I talk to people about this, or when somebody will ask me about this topic, I think the thing that always comes up is that really knowledge is the power when it comes to, I think, dealing with trans issues, because I feel like a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't get the concept of what it is to be a trans person and how the emotional roller coasters that the trans members of our community have to go through just to live their life and to live their truth. Something that the rest of us get to do so easily, the trans members of our community don't have that. They don't have it that easy. They have to deal with a lot more. So I think for the people who are listening who necessarily don't know about these things, knowledge is really the power when it comes to that. And I think you can apply that to any of the topics we're talking about today. I feel like that's really the kicker. One of the kickers is knowing what you're dealing with and having the knowledge to be able to handle it and having the knowledge to be able to do something about it, whether you're an ally or you're a member of that community or you're a homeless youth or whatever it may be, or you're, you know, thinking about attacking somebody on social media, whatever it may be, knowledge is the key. And if you just think about what you're doing and you think about what you're going to say, I think 9 times out of 10, most people will realize that it's probably really trivial. It's probably not necessary to attack this person online, or it's not necessary to, you know, say horrible things about trans people or whatever it may be. Or, you know, if you're getting knowledge about wanting to do better in your community, knowledge is the key. You know, if you want to help, you know, homeless youth, look up stuff in your city, look up things, get the knowledge before you try. And I guarantee you, you will find it much easier to deal with whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever it may be, if you have the knowledge beforehand. Because I feel like a lot of times, especially when it comes to people attacking people on social media and those kinds of things, is that a lot of times they do this because they don't think about it. They just do it. And then if you go back and you really think about it, like, I just always think about that thing my mother always used to tell me, like, just think about what you're going to say before you say it, you know, like, think about what you're going to do before you do it. If you want to go out and do good in the community, do your research, because you're going to be able to do so much more. You know, before you attack somebody because of the way they look, think about, maybe this has to do with your insecurities. Or if you're going to, you know, whatever it may be, just knowledge. Think before you speak. Think before you comment. Think before you do something. You know, we could ramble on. I could keep rambling on.
And I 150%, you know, agree with you. And not just to, you know, to jump on, you know, to kind of drag it on a little more. But I think you hit something on the head. Like, it is important because, you know, I was actually really privileged, 2 points actually, before I go. I was actually really privileged and honored to go last month to the Heroes in the Struggle gala that happened here in Los Angeles. And Laverne Cox was one of the recipients of the award there, and it was held by the Black AIDS Institute. And one of the things that she said was that it's important to bring, when we're talking about LGBTQ topics and issues, it's important to make sure that trans women and trans men have a seat at the table, you right. know, and have a way to express their issues as well.
It should be inclusive, everyone.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we can't say that we're an inclusive community because we exclude our own people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, you know, the lesbians have their own bar, or they have their own nights, and the gays have their own nights. And even within that, you have the plastics. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's even a breakdown within the gay community. And not to say that you can't have social connections with people based off of background or whatever. It's nice to have, you know, a sense of belonging, but what is the reason why those communities, those sub-communities within, let's, you know, go back to what we were talking about in one of our previous episodes with the Pride episode, mm-hmm. And how we have sub-communities within our overall community. And it's funny because I had a conversation with one of my coworkers the other day, and she's like, "What's a bear?" And I was like, "What do you mean, what's a bear? They're animals. They're furry. They have long
claws. They live in the woods. They eat porridge."
Right. You know what I'm saying? They like to steal picnic baskets. Like, this. Those are the things, you know. they're bears. And she was like, "No,
I'm
like,
girl, I'm a bear."
Right, I'm a burr. So, but watch for bears. But I told her, I was like, "Oh, well, there's a sub community within the gay culture." And she was like, "I did not know that." And so she didn't know about, like, you know, twinks and drag queens and the ballroom scene and vogers and bears and leather daddies and you know, all these other labels that we've created to kind of, because of the lack of inclusion that we've had in our community within ourselves. And that it kind of triggered me a little bit, because I'm just like, why do we have those? You know what I'm saying? Why can't, you know, somebody that's considered a bear go into the same events that a twink would and still feel like they're home? You know what I mean? And why does certain, you know, even if you go down to breaking it down even further, you have straight acting gays, and you have more effeminate gays, and you have those that are in between. And so it just kind of, like, you know, we do that within ourselves, you know, and I haven't had a gay app in forever, but even when I did have a gay app when I was in Seattle, you know, those things are prevalent. You know what I'm saying? Like, "Oh, I won't right. date, if you're black or Asian, I won't date you." Or if you're not clean, then I won't date you. Like, why are we doing that to ourselves? You know what I'm saying? Why are we doing, you know, putting that into it? So right. I just feel like we need to do better. And then yeah. the second point that you made in regards to, if it doesn't, if you don't have, pretty much saying, if you don't have nothing else to say, don't do it on social media. And right. I think, you know, from a couple, last week, I work with a mentor group called Healthy Him. And we had a phenomenal group. It was called an intergenerational discussion. And so the program manager had brought in gay men of color from different generations. So you had millennials, you had Generation X, you had baby boomers. And it was really interesting, the conversation, because a lot of times you think that those type of conversations don't, they don't go anywhere because of, you know, intergenerational discussions and intergenerational issues, mm-hmm. And a lack of a common ground. But it was really nice to be a part of that conversation, because we were able to show them that, you know, and I consider myself a millennial, but I'm also, like, on the cusp of millennial, because I still right. am in an older Like, I was there before social media became social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was there before when MySpace was, you know, just coming out. You know what I'm saying? And so, not just to tell my age or nothing, you know, but I didn't grow up like that. So a lot of the stuff that they're doing now, you know, a lot, you know, of millennials feel really frustrated because it's like, well, you guys were doing it, but you just didn't put it on social media because you didn't have it. And then we say, well, we didn't have social media, but you guys are putting this, your business out all on there. But if you think about it, we're doing the same exact thing. It's just, it's more publicized now. You know what I mean? And people are more in your business now. So I guess, and I don't want to say that social media is a problem because I feel like social media is in and of itself a tool like anything else, you know? So it doesn't matter. The cars don't hurt you. It's who's behind the wheel. You know what I'm saying? The guns don't hurt you. It's who's using the guns. You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand, you know, I guess I wish in this country of division that we have so far with, you know, race relations and political issues, that we can come together a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? That we can look at, because I feel like if everyone utilizes their platform, no matter how big or small, in a more positive way, we can make a huge difference and change. You know, we did it when Pulse happened. Like, when Pulse happened, you know, it was a horrible time and it hit the LGBTQ community so fucking hard that it shattered some people. It broke me. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't even there physically. I've had people affected that I know there. I've had a family member there that passed away. But still, it's like I wasn't physically there myself. And it shattered the entire LGBTQ community because that's our place of, you know, our safety. You know what I'm saying? That we go to gay clubs because we want to feel safe and we want to meet other people who are like-minded and are like us so we can feel comfortable. And so for our safe place to be damaged or threatened hurts, you know. So I think that it's and even after that, the amount within days, you know, there was over $6 million, you know, that was donated to the GoFundMe, the official GoFundMe that was on there. You know what I'm saying? And that was just within days. So can you imagine if we really got together and we really, you know, were inclusive to all aspects of the LGBTQ community, the transgender community, LGBTQ of color, all the sub communities, everyone. Yeah. If we did that, it would be a lot. We would be a force to be reckoned with, to be honest with you.
Well, I feel like that's really what the world, I mean, not to stray off topic, but I feel like that's really what this world needs now and is just trying to break down those barriers. And why do we need to fight among each other? You know, like why we all live on this earth. We all bleed the same color. We all breathe the same air. Why does there need to be this divide? And I understand that happens naturally. I get that it's not something that's going to change right away. But if you just the tiniest little bit of trying to make a difference will spread. It's like the thing when you work in retail, they say this thing like one good customer will cause you to have 100 more good customers. All it takes is for one person to say something nice about your business or restaurant. They will tell two people who will then tell three more people who will then tell five more people who will then tell 10 more people. And it's a snowball effect. It's the same thing. If you just find a way to be better or to do better or to make a difference, it'll spread like wildfire, and we will do so much better in this world if you just, and that's all it takes on whatever scale you can find, whatever scale you can do, even if it's just something minuscule, trust me, it will make a difference.
I agree. And on that note, we do have to cut it short today, unfortunately. But I do, I want you guys to think about that a little bit, like for our listeners. And, you know, I know this is more of a serious, a little on the heavier side compared to our usual show. But I think sometimes we need to have those type of serious conversations because I think that the more that, you know, the Cheeto in Chief tries to divide, whether it be through race and whether it be through politics and in our instance, you know, through our sexuality. I think it's important to kind of start thinking about what can we do now. Like we don't have any other choice at this point in time. The Cheeto's there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he's going to be there, you know, until he gets impeached or he gets arrested or what have you. But if that happens, it's not going to happen for a long time, if it happens at all. You know what I'm saying? So we have to mentally prepare, you know, to have him for the rest of his term. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so until then, I think it's important that we start looking at what can we do to heal our community? What can we do to not only embrace others that are coming into our community, but also, like, how can we become a fighting force, a stronger force after we heal? You know what I'm saying? Because healing needs to start first, and then looking at the bigger picture in terms of what can we do to heal. So, yeah, just some thoughts. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, next spread week, the love.
Spread the love. What the world needs now
is love. Sweet love. Yeah, we're not winning a Grammy anytime soon.
Girl. In the shower, I am Beyonce.
Okay. In the shower, bitch, everywhere I'm shower, Beyonce.
Yes, man. Well, I mean, vocally, in the shower, I'm Beyonce.
I try to be Beyonce as many points in time throughout my day as I possibly can. Right.
It's important. It's a gift. But anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of I'd Rather Not. We are here. We're queer and we're, you know, ready to do the damn thing. Okay. We appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate the support. Our numbers have been skyrocketing. And we just honestly, in my personal opinion, I don't know why you listen to us, but we appreciate it nonetheless.
We love you. All of our listeners and fans, we truly love you.
Yes. We truly do. Truly, honestly.
This wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for them. So thank you.
Absolutely. And thanks for listening to two, you know, old gays. You know, I'm not old, but
you better stop telling people I'm old, fool. I'm gonna get you. You know what I say to that? You know what I say to you calling me old? I'd rather not. Boom.
Right? Yes. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, Segway. So, product placement. But thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to go ahead and go on to our beautiful, fabulous, glittery, and glittericious website. Yeah. It was designed after Christie's dresses. So... but definitely go on there to check out all of our episodes, as well as send us some glitter mail. And also, as soon as Christy sends me her bio, that will be on there as well.
You need to stop trying to come for me today. I'm about to turn.
But
this
I love off. You. I mean it. Okay. I do. It's okay. Low key, my bio's not up there either. But anyway. I digress. But yes, it's been fun. It's been real. Thank you guys for allowing me to be able to do this with one of my closest and dearest best friends. And so I appreciate you guys supporting us. And we have a kiki all the time. So even when we talk about serious stuff.
And, remember that one thing we always say when the haters get you down, you just tell them.
I'd rather not.
Okay.
Bye.
See you guys later.
What a wonderful kiki.